There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Jimmy hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett on the P2 Podcast. Broadcasting in beautiful high-definition audio, or something quite like it, to all four corners of the globe, this greenish-blue planet that we call our Earth. How you doing, everybody? Phil here on the podcast, broadcasting from the Pritchett compound in Fort Worth, Texas. Filling you in on all things Phil World, music, and so much more. Thanks for tuning in. Been back on the horse here of late, man. Back on the horse with the podcast. So much stuff going on. Oh, enjoyed talking about Santa Fe, New Mexico, and all the stuff I've been talking about the last couple of weeks. The gold mine of fried chicken in the United States. Can't have enough fried chicken. Internships and music. What does it mean anymore? I don't know. Check the recent podcasts. Catch up with us, man. And, of course, call us 817-733-5256 to book the full band. Or come record at the studio, phil@philpritchett.com. We can't wait to hear from you, folks. So bring it on. Well, do I have a story for you guys. My goodness, it's not very often that I get a little tidbit of news, a little inside scoop of gossip on something. Although now that I've looked at it online, it's nothing new, but nothing I knew about. A interesting revelation from none other than Houston, Texas, my beloved Uncle James Pritchett. You've seen it. Have you been at the firehouse gigs down there in Houston? Phil's Uncle James, he shows up occasionally. This is my dad's youngest brother. My dad's one of four. This is our youngest brother, James. So he was always the cool uncle when I was a kid growing up. Uncle James was younger. He'd be out there just playing basketball with us. And I think he was still in college, you know, kind of when we were little kids. So, you know, and I was kind of older when he got married. So the wedding was great. We just danced all night. Uncle James, beloved uncle. Well, he always sends me stuff in the mail, little interesting emails from time to time. He's so supportive. He'll come out to the firehouse gig. I've played for his company a couple times, I think. They'll have a party or some kind of a deal where I've been hired to come in and play. So, a little nepotism there, has its benefits. But he calls me, he sends me this, he's really into the Alamo, you know. He's been very successful in business. He also spends a lot of his time, part of his time. I think he's head or he's on the board of like an Alamo Preservation Society, which is in San Antonio. And my dad has mentioned it to me. He's like he'll just say something like, "Oh, you know, Uncle James is at an Alamo meeting, or he's in San Antonio for this Alamo thing." And I've just kind of heard about it over the last couple of years and become aware of it. Well, the other day, and he's sent me books before about the Alamo, the music of the Alamo. So the other day, I get a CD in the mail, the music of the Alamo. It's got pictures of the cannons and the fort on there. And really cool. Like all that old, the hymns maybe they'd have been singing inside the walls of the fort while they're under siege by the Mexican army. So it was cool, man. I was kind of listening to it, and I looked around. He'd recently changed up his phone number, I think, or email. So I called my dad. So, Dad, give me Uncle James's number. I was just going to call him and thank him for the CD. So I called Uncle James, and so we're talking. I said, man, thanks for the CD. We catch up. He says, well, man, you know, I'm part of this. I'll send you a couple emails on the Alamo Society preservation deal. And he tells me all about it. You know, he's going on, talking about all the meetings he goes to. And evidently there's a big, if you think about it, man, the Alamo was here when Texas was its own country and part of Mexico. And nowadays, there's still a lot of difficulty. I mean, can you even imagine this? It's sitting in the middle of San Antonio. And, you know, you've got the opinions of businesses around there. You've got the Alamo. I don't know who it belongs to. I'll have to ask him about this. But it's owned by who owns the Alamo, I guess, is the issue. Is it owned by the people of Texas? Is it owned by the city of San Antonio? Is it owned by the state of Texas? Is it owned by the private donors who spend a lot of money to restore it and keep it? And you know, what if the Alamo wants to rebuild some of its walls or replaster the outside? I mean, who pays for that and who oversees the work? Who's responsible saying, hey, you can't do this, or who okays the work? You know what I'm saying? You can see how you can really easily see how things would just get screwed up, you know, with all kinds of, I mean, you know, you got the city, the state's going to want to know what are you doing, and the money donors are going to want to know what you're doing. The purists, the city of San Antonio is going to have a say, the city council. So anyway, in the middle of it somewhere is my dear Uncle James, who just says, hey man, as a boy, I always was fascinated by the Alamo. I've been there a lot, and I've, you know, do what I can to kind of stay up with it, help it stand, learn about it, and have some involvement in it. And it doesn't take more than him going to a couple of meetings a year, to stay involved with this society. So anyway, I'm talking the other day on the phone with him, and we're talking for a long time. I'm running around the house. I'm getting out of the house with the running errands and things. So I'm listening to all this, but. And then he finally says something to the effect of, well, you know, I was like, well, how many people are in the society? He's like, well, it's like 100. So we had these meetings a couple times a year. It's like 150 people, 200 people maybe that come down there. And they dress up, some of them, in their coonskin caps and their fringe jackets with their muskets. Like, oh, so everybody dresses the part and shows up at the meetings. Because, oh, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, then he says, well, you know that our most prominent member of the Alamo Society that I'm involved with is the musician Bill Collin, you know, English guy. And I kind of hear this, and I'm like, what? And I was like, Bill Collin, what, from England? So I kind of went, oh yeah, like maybe that's someone I should know. I was kind of, oh yeah, I was kind of, I was thinking in my mind, I was like, yeah, didn't he play bass for like the Animals or something? I kind of went, oh yeah, wait. What are you, in the Animals or something like that? And my uncle goes, no, he was the singer of Genesis. Well, now I stop cold. I go, whoa, 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 whoa. Phil Collins? Phil Collins? James said, yes, what's it? Phil Collins. I said, oh, I said, I thought you said Bill Colliner. He goes, no, Phil Collins. Let me tell you what, folks. I sat right down on the kitchen floor. Poured myself a fresh cup of coffee, turned off the radio, and I said, whoa, 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 back up. Just back up, Uncle James. He was laughing. He goes, what? He said, do you know Phil? I'm like, I know Phil Collins. And let me tell you what, man, I've endured a lot of ribbing over my love of Phil Collins and Genesis through the years. You can imagine living in Texas country, the Willie and Waylon atmosphere, who I like too, okay, of course. But man, I've always had an affinity for the, you've listened to this show and seen my gigs, Talking Heads, Peter Gabriel, progressive, and then especially that British rock. Well, Genesis, dude, huge. And I've always been a big fan of Phil Collins' solo stuff. I love his drumming. I love his voice. Collins, I am a huge fan. And probably his name's Phil, too. I don't know. There's probably a weird kind of connection there. It sounds silly, but I'm like, plus he's just Phil. He's Phil. I like Phil. Phil Collins. Love him. Love him. Love him. He's been in some acting roles. He's always very funny. Always very funny and charming in his interviews. Anyway, I've always loved Phil Collins, and I love Genesis. Everything about it, all the time. So Uncle James didn't know I was a fan. He's like, well, I didn't know how big a fan of his you were. I'm like, dude, are you kidding me, Phil? That's a huge fan. So then I'm blown away by him being involved in the Alamo. I'm like, no, wait, back up. Phil Collins, what do you mean he's involved in the Alamo Society? Uncle James goes, oh, yeah, dude, he's obsessed. Obsessed with the Alamo. And I'm like, I don't understand. I mean, he's a British guy. He's how did this come to be? So Uncle James just goes, and I invite all you out there fans to do this too. Google Phil Collins Alamo. Dude, there's all kinds of stuff on there. Rolling Stone feature on it with Phil Collins standing on the steps of the Alamo. Pictures of him in his coonskin cap. Sure enough, I'm kind of online while I'm talking to Uncle James. Here it all is. I'm like, here it is. Look at this. Oh my God. So Uncle James starts telling me, he's like, I'm like, have you met? Uncle James goes, oh yeah, dude. He goes, we go to lunch. We have these banquets and things. And Phil Collins, he's written this book. He wrote a book on the Alamo. It's like, I can't remember the title in front of me, but it was something like The Alamo, a collector's story. And so Uncle James said, yeah. And in fact, he thinks he's reincarnated, that is one of his past lives. He fought at the Alamo and has now come back, and he's Phil Collins. He lived a former life at the Alamo or something like this. And this is blowing my mind, you understand? I mean, I'm just like, what? Back up. So I'm trying to get it all straight. I'm jotting stuff down. I'm looking at stuff online. And sure enough, here it all comes in. I'm hearing it from Uncle James in my ear through the phone, and I'm also simultaneously reading it online. Yeah, can you believe that? And here's the story, and it's the same kind of story that my Uncle James ran into. They're probably about the same age, I don't know, early 60s or so. And so Phil said in these articles that he, as a kid, the big thing started with Davy Crockett. Remember the old day, born on a mountaintop in Tennessee? We all remember the Davy Crockett, Walt Disney show, the coonskin cap, the fringe jacket, the musket. Well, Phil Collins, like a lot of kids, saw that, and I guess they syndicated that Davy Crockett show over there, you know, whenever that was, in the early 50s or something, or mid-50s, early 60s, the Davy Crockett thing. And Phil Collins, in all these accounts, just said, man, I was obsessed. I was like, you know, I'd grown up in England. I'd never seen anything like the guy with the frontiersman, you know, with the musket and the coonskin cap. I thought it was just so mysterious and cool, and I loved the show. And the whole, of course, the last episode of the whole Davy Crockett saga is, of course, our hero Crockett just going down swinging at the Alamo with his musket, just hitting Mexicans and shooting and yelling for freedom in Texas. And so anyway, Collins is a fan of the show as a kid. Well, he joins Genesis in 1969, 1970, something like that, as a percussionist drummer. He's like 19 years old or something like that. And starts touring the world. If you know anything about Genesis, early Genesis was Peter Gabriel was the lead singer. Early 70s was all Peter Gabriel, dressing up in costumes, singing weird songs. And the Lamb lies down on Broadway. All these weird kind of progressive thematic songs, some of which admittedly are hard to get through. Gabriel era Genesis is tough, even on me. So I'll warn you guys against that. I like his solo stuff a lot better. But the first 5 or 6 years of Genesis, Collins is playing drums, singing background vocals. Well, then Gabriel leaves in 75, and Phil Collins, they audition like 500 guys to replace Peter Gabriel. No one can do the job, and Phil's a damn good singer, but he's the drummer, and it's kind of weird. But man, Phil can sing all the old songs, and Phil is also a writer. And they finally just go, look, we'll just let Phil be the singer. So that's what happens. Phil Collins becomes the lead singer of Genesis in the mid 70s. And they're far more successful with Collins, a bit more mainstream and digestible, writer, singer, than Gabriel. They have far more success in Phil Collins era Genesis than with Gabriel as the front man. So it was around this mid 70s, touring the world era, Phil Collins singing, where he runs across somewhere on the East Coast in the United States. At a museum or an auction house, he sees a letter from Davy Crockett, an actual Crockett letter framed that you can buy. That was, I don't know how much it was, but it was in his interview say, it was way too expensive. But that affected him so much, Collins goes, man, I just looked at that letter from Davy Crockett. And I just thought, man, you know, all that fantasy stuff, watching Crockett on TV as a kid, he realized that Crockett was a real guy and that he had really fought and really lived and really died. And he really was a frontiersman. And he was all these things that kind of the show alluded to. Of course, the show is kind of fun and silly, but there was a real Davy Crockett out there. Collins goes, man, I wanted to buy this letter. It was for sale, you know? And he goes, but I couldn't do it. I don't have the money. But that whet his appetite, man, to explore the world of Davy Crockett. Well, that leads him where? Right here to Texas, baby. Right here where we're all hanging out. Of course, the Alamo. So Collins, and you can go on Google and read that Rolling Stone. There's a good Rolling Stone article on it. Phil Collins and his Alamo obsession. And so next thing he knows, man, is I guess his Genesis starts to do great too in the late 70s and 80s, making millions and millions, and he's doing huge business. He starts collecting stuff, man. He buys a musket ball that was found at the Alamo, and he buys that, and he buys the Crockett letter, and he buys a receipt signed by William Travis for a saddle that he bought before he went to the Alamo. They think maybe it was the actual saddle he had at the battles and all this. So Collins becomes a collector. Over in England, of all things Alamo. He's obsessed with it. He visits the Alamo. He goes there for the first time, I guess, when he was touring with Genesis, mid-70s. Takes the tour. It just loves it. Just the history, the vibe in there. And he starts buying all this stuff. He becomes obsessed with it. And, man, to this day, it has been his hobby and his obsession, dude. The freaking Alamo. He says he has a basement in his house. Filled with letters and saddles and cannonballs and muskets and coonskin caps and all this stuff he's collected through the years. He wrote this book recently. On a side note, anybody knows anything about Phil Collins, he has pretty much formally retired from music. I think he's 62, if I'm not mistaken. But man, playing drums, for those of you, man, playing drums is hard on you. It's hard on your shoulders and your back when you get to be an old man. I had some drummers in my bands through the years. All of them just about would complain all the time about their knees or their back or just, man, I'm just sitting here for hours and hours, my vertebrae, my spine. Well, Phil Collins has had some issues with his back here in the last several years, and some of his vertebrae have collapsed, and he's had some nerve damage, and he can't use his left hand as well as he once did drumming-wise. And so he kind of said a few years back, he goes, man, my days as a drummer are over. And of course he's older. I mean, he just doesn't have the hits and the chart success as he did for so long. So he's really been able to get into this Alamo thing just full tilt, write the book. He comes several times a year to San Antonio. He says that the people in the gift shop all know his name. Like, hey, Phil, how you doing? All the guards and tour guides just, hey, there's Phil Collins. How's he doing? He just kind of hangs out here in his spare time. Well, then what he does is he buys into a business next door to the Alamo. Listen to this. This tells you how sick he's gotten. He buys a building or buys into it, and so he can get into this building next to the Alamo. I don't know where it is exactly, but it's next to the Alamo. And has knocked out the wall and gone under, and he is tunneled like Shawshank Redemption underneath the Alamo, or closer to it from this business, and is in there digging. He's got like a little mine in there, and has come out of this mine with shot, with cannonballs, coins, and other artifacts from the freaking Alamo. So Uncle Jenny, he's telling me all this stuff on the phone. My mind is blown, dude. I'm just like, what are you talking about? And the other thing is my Uncle James, being a hardworking businessman and stuff, of course he knew Phil Collins, but he wasn't around. He wasn't a fan of music and Genesis like I was. So I tried to impart on my uncle how big Phil Collins is. He goes, well, I know he's very successful, you know. I said, and as I'm looking up online, I was trying to get some context. I find this fact about Phil Collins. I say, Uncle James, let me tell you this. There are three artists, that have sold over 1 million albums with a band and 1 million albums as a solo artist in toto. You have Paul McCartney. He sold over 1 million with the Beatles and over 1 million as just Paul McCartney. 100 million. 100 million as the Beatles, 100 million as a solo. Michael Jackson. Jackson 5, 100 million. Michael Jackson, well over 100 million. And then right there is our Alamo guy in the coonskin cap from Genesis, Phil Collins. Genesis, 100 million albums, Phil Collins solo. I don't care anymore. I can feel it coming in the air tonight. $100 million as a solo guy. That is rarefied air. And my uncle's kind of like, wow, man, I didn't really realize that. I'm like, dude. He goes, well, I knew he's a big success. I was like, dude, the biggest, baby. I mean, 80s, 90s. I mean, those Genesis hits. You probably don't think, oh, I hate Genesis. Dude, go back and just listen to some of their, just go to their greatest hits. You know what? If you're like me, you don't know the names of the songs as much. You're like, I don't know this one. But start clicking on that Spotify right down the list or iTunes samples, Genesis Greatest Hits, and you just go, oh, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah, of course. There's a man there on the corner. Abacab, Take Me Home. I get Phil Collins' Genesis stuff and his solo stuff mixed up. He was making Phil Collins' solo records at the same time as he was making Genesis records. So it's kind of confusing, but it doesn't matter. The voice is the same. The sentiment's the same. The drumming's the same. Phil freaking Collins. Now, obsessed with the Alamo. Well, let me put an ad out there, man. If you'd like to join this Alamo Society, it's $18.36 a year. Of course, the battle was fought 1836, right? So it's $18.36 a year. $18.36 a year. You can join the Alamo Society. And yeah, you can go to these meetings and things. And Phil will be there. Phil Collins himself, one of the greatest, funniest guys and just one of the biggest rock stars, at least by album sales, recognizing songs, by any other standard you want to apply. One of the biggest rock stars in the world at the Alamo. Hanging out, digging around in his building next door for cannonballs and musket shot. You know, they say he owns one of only four known Davy Crockett rifles that he bought off of like one of Crockett's cousins in Alaska or somewhere. He just hunts stuff down fanatically. Cuts checks left and right to buy Alamo stuff. And I think his Alamo artifacts have gone around on tour and stuff, and he's done a big book tour for his book. And my uncle says that Phil Collins, he's given speeches at the Alamo Society. He's gotten up and read passages from his book and, you know, signed copies of his book and done all kinds of work on the Alamo. Well, man, I don't know. I don't know where that sits with you fans out there if you don't know a whole lot about Phil Collins. But, man, is that not just the strangest, most great Texas story and Alamo story and British rock and roll story you've ever heard in your life? Oh, it just made me so happy hearing that. I tell you what, man, don't be surprised if I get me a coonskin cap, pay my $18.36 a year, and head down to the next convention down there in San Antonio and walk the grounds. Kind of bump it. Oh, hey, Phil K. Oh, my name's Phil, too. Phil Pritchard, how you doing, man? Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. Hey, show me your mine. Let's go find some cannonballs. Maybe me and Phil Collins will get out our picks and our shovels and just go digging underneath the Alamo, man, for some coins. And some musket shot and cannonballs. Wouldn't that be awesome? Oh, get Phil on the podcast from the Alamo down there digging for stuff. See, this is the way you get these guys on the podcast. Everybody's like, man, you ought to have this guy on the podcast, Phil. You had this guy on the podcast. If they're talking about music, they're not interested. They're like, I don't know. I don't want to do some interview about my new album or some dumb thing. But perhaps you could come at him from that angle. Someone like Phil Collins. You know, someone you say, hey, man, I want to talk to you about your Genesis and all that. Let's talk about the Alamo. Let's talk about Crockett. You know, let's talk about the work you're doing down there. And he'd probably be a lot more inclined to sit down and have a chat. Who knows, man? Time will tell. Well, look forward to that, folks. Phil Collins, one of my... I think I named Genesis and Phil Collins as one of my guilty pleasures. You know, we talk about guilty pleasures music on the podcast a lot. I'd ask guests, you know, hey, who's someone you would never really openly admit to really liking? And I didn't know if Phil Collins qualified, but some people thought he did. And that's kind of a guilty pleasure. But I love it, man. Love Phil Collins. Love the Alamo, so... Oh, I might be just joining the Alamo Preservation Society very, very soon. Well, folks, thanks so much for listening to this episode, this edition of the P2 Podcast. Love it, everybody. Phil Collins, the Alamo. Look it up on Google, man. Phil Collins, Alamo. Fascinating stuff. Just great. Thanks to Uncle James for filling me in, for letting me in on this whole deal. Maybe I'll get involved with it, man. It'd be a hell of a lot of fun. Well, that's all the time we have here this week on the podcast. Email me, phil@philpritchard.com, or call me, 817-733-5256. Come play at the studio, record at the studio. We're just waiting for you, man, to make history, to make music history. We're going to do it. Let me know when and where, and we'll do it. Also, let us know where to come play. me solo with a guitar, me and Blue duo in the backyard or in a festival or club, or bring the full band. All three of us, including a fourth member, J.W. Marshall, our bass player, his little brother Richard, who's not that little, he's about 7 feet tall. Singer, keyboard player. Richard even played bass with me at the White Elephant last time, filling in on the bass, did a hell of a great job. Richard is around. We got a four-piece band. Just more, playing more than ever, enjoying it more than ever. Let us know where to come play for you. Phil at PhilPritchard.com. We'll see you next week, folks. Be good to each other out there. Much tougher.